word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. He is our Savior, our wonderful Savior, a Savior of sinners, Redeemer of sinful men. He stands in the gap between the wrath of God and the mercies of God, and the Lord Jesus receives the wrath and shows us God's mercy. The Lord is able to show us mercy and forgiveness of sins because of the death of Christ. Because Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's how God is able to show to us forgiveness of sins, because of Christ. A just God can't just walk away from an unrighteous deed. In order for him to be a just God, he must deal with sin on every level and in everyone's life. And he must deal with it on the basis of the law. Now, he established the law, but his holiness, his very nature, is that he's a holy God, and things must be done right. As I looked out the window several days ago at a bird hopping along the ground, little robin, I thought of this fact that the Lord is a just God, that a robin produces a robin, and they keep on bringing forth robins. And if the Lord were to trim here and trim a little bit there, and the way that information was passed on, and pretty soon we'd have something else. It wouldn't be a robin. Well, if the Lord were to trim here and trim there, and as an eternal God, if he broke a portion of his law today and another small, minute portion tomorrow, and the next day continued to break a portion of it, then what would this world be like? But our God changes not. And his very nature demands that he changes not. He is a holy God, and he can never compromise his holiness. And that is why the Lord Jesus had to die for our sins, had to pay for our sins. That's what Christ Jesus the Lord had to do. The holy God of heaven demanded righteousness, and only God could provide that righteousness that was in Christ and that is in Christ. Christ alone offered up himself without spot to God, and that demand is nothing short of complete satisfaction before God. God is satisfied with Christ, and in Christ, the Lord is satisfied with us. Outside of Christ, he is not satisfied. Only in Christ is God satisfied with us. Only in him. If you're not in Christ, then God is not satisfied with you. Yes, I said that right now. If you're not in Christ, then God is not satisfied with you. He is satisfied with you in Christ. But if there's never been a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ as the one who paid your sin debt, the one on whom God poured out his wrath for sinners, if you have not accepted his finished work, Christ's finished work, then God's not satisfied with you. God is not pleased with you. You are out of fellowship with God. You are not in his family. You are lost, and the only way you can be saved is that you admit to God that you are a sinner, accept Christ, and he will save you. Our Heavenly Father, I do ask for thy blessings now upon this message. I ask for thy blessings upon thy people. Father, fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that I may minister thy word, and that hearts and lives shall be changed, and that the Lord our God will be honored and glorified. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Genesis, chapter 20, At verse 8, we considered on the previous program Abimelech's admission and confession that he was acting in the integrity of his heart. The knowledge he had, the information he had received from Abraham, that was what he was going by as his guide as to the relationship of Sarah to him. And so he says to the Lord, I did this in the integrity of my heart. The man told me that this was his sister, and she herself said that she was his sister, and so I took her. But the Lord said, I suffered you not to put your hands on her. I knew that, see, God knows what's in a man's heart. He knows the motives of a man's heart, too, and only the Lord knows that. And so anytime you try to tell someone that you know what's in their heart, you are entering into a realm where only God himself should go. And that is a transgression. In other words, it is a sin for you to judge the motives of a person. I know why you did that. No, you may think you do, but you don't. You don't know what's going on in the heart of that person. The Lord knows the motives behind everything. Now, when Abimelech arose in the morning, waking up out of his sleep, the dream is gone, his thoughts are moving through his head, and he goes and calls on those who serve him. And he asked them to take Sarah, Abraham's wife, back. You see, these men had, these servants had brought her in. Now you take her back out. And he responded right away. When the Lord spoke to him, he didn't wait for another day and debated about it. Got up early in the morning, the next morning. Early in the morning, the scriptures say in verse 8. You know, when you have something to do to get right with the Lord or someone else, do it right away. Don't delay. Don't linger like it was with Lot. When he heard the message, he lingered to get out of Sodom and had to be pulled out. And the longer you delay in doing what you know is right, the less the chances are that you will do what is right. Let me say that again now. The longer you delay in doing what you know is right, the less are the chances that you will do what is right. And that's why it's so important when we hear a message preached and when we preach the Word of God and give out the gospel and give an invitation and someone will say, you know, I think I'll come back at a more opportune time. It's not a good day to do this, you know. And many times they never make it back. That's the last message they ever hear or the last opportunity that they have, and we don't know that. So the best time to do right is right now. Don't delay. Don't put it off. You know what you must do. Now do it. Abimelech rose up early in the morning. He did what he had to do. He took Sarah back, sent her away from him, and told what the dream was that he had heard from the Lord. The answer to that. Verse 8, now therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Now, were they afraid because they found out that the king was going to be angry with them? What brought on this fear? They were very much afraid. They hadn't done anything wrong, but that, of course, didn't matter with the king. The king, a sovereign king, would say off with the heads. Then, of course, the heads would have been taken off. And there would not have been any higher appeal than the king's statement. His word was final. Verse 9, then Abimelech called Abraham. So these men now have been made to fear what had happened because, you know, remember, they were very close to Sodom and Gomorrah. They had been not too far from when the Lord had destroyed those cities, and they knew that it was the Lord who had done this, and the Lord, and Abraham was the Lord's property. Abraham was the Lord's man. Were they afraid of the king or afraid of what God was going to do to them, because the Lord had said to Abimelech, thou art but a dead man. And Abimelech told them all that the Lord had said to them, and so they were very afraid. Is judgment now going to fall on us, either from God or from the hand of the king, for this being brought into his dominion, his kingdom? So when he calls Abraham, he has something to say to Abraham. And he said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us? Do you not realize when you are a deceiver, you hurt other people, that you do things to offend other people, that sin comes in and contaminates others? You have hurt the families of other people because you want it your way. You were afraid and you didn't want to do things God's way. Abimelech says, you brought a great sin upon my kingdom. You've done me wrong by doing this. Verse 9. Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." So, again, this man has some standards. Some standards that would say that he knows that there is one who is greater than he is. Even though a king didn't want people to think that there were others greater than he is. But this man is very much afraid. He's a heathen. He has been spared judgment because God has shown mercy. This man doesn't deserve to have any mercy shown to him. Surely he had wives, but one more for him? No, the Lord doesn't look lightly upon that. You've done this deed that you ought not to have done. Now look at him being preached to. Abraham is being preached to. You should not have done this. You were wrong. You offended my kingdom and you offended my people. You endangered the lives of all of this kingdom by your one little lie, you and your quote-unquote sister. Yes, he was preaching to him. Now, what is Abraham going to do? Is Abraham going to say, "Now, you have no right to talk to me like that"? No. Verse 10. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, "What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." You know, he wanted to know, what was it about us that made you do this to us? He couldn't find any reason for it. It just didn't add up that someone would treat him so cruelly, to endanger his well-being, to hazard so much. Well, you know, when it comes to sinning, you don't reason properly. You think that you've been tempted off course, and you're willing to sacrifice your family, your wife, your children, your job, your health, willing to sacrifice your husband, your children, your home. Sin makes you do things like that. You don't reason right when sin is brought in. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy mercies. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that thou wouldest help us to think right. Forgive us for our sins and help us to do right. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. May the Lord bless you.